Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Tonight we are talking about episode 14 from season 3, Watch Dogs. Tonight we're going to be covering Mac's little brother, the return of Agent Blake, and the Watch Dogs. So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey there, everybody. We are back to talk about another episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's episode 14, season 3, Watch Dogs. How are you all doing tonight?
Doing good.
I'm doing good. My mic. There we go.
Doing great.
I'm doing super great. This was a good one.
This was a really good episode. I didn't feel heartbroken. No. I didn't feel like crying into the mic afterwards. But at the same time, this was a really good ride.
Yeah.
This was a blast.
We didn't need alcohol for this one.
In a lot of ways, this was a blast.
Yeah, I'm not drinking tonight.
You get, because she blasted because, from her hand.
And also, Hydra set us up the bomb.
And there was there was an explosion.
Yeah, we got it.
And there was a bomb.
Yes. We all watched it. We saw the blast. Yeah.
But also, it was a fun time.
Yeah, I was really expecting somebody to make, a bomb pun, and I'm really glad that didn't happen. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Hi, everyone. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. This show was the bomb.
There you go. There it is. Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, @ZachWilson, and I got you guys in the chat.
Woo. Joyce Ajuri.
Hey, guys. I'm Joyce. You can catch me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at @JAjuri.
And I'm Megan. You guys can tweet at me at @TheMenguin. That's @THEMENGUIN. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag #ABTVMarvel for those of you following along there. This was a really solid episode. Initial thoughts, because we get a lot of new information. We get a lot of really good character dynamics that we're not used to seeing. What did you guys think?
Two words. Shock on X!
Shock on X!
Yes!
I also have two words. Civil War.
No, that does seem to be a reoccurring theme. In this episode, everybody has a different sort of perspective and a different stance on how to deal with a group like the Watch Dogs, or whether or not a group like the Watch Dogs is even necessary.
Yeah, I think it's a luxury that Marvel... I was watching this and I was like, this is a really nice luxury that Marvel has, is that... Because I think S.H.I.E.L.D. has a lot of fans that aren't necessarily familiar with the comic books, and the people who read the comic books are very familiar with the concept of Civil War. And I think that this episode, they just set up the two sides of Civil War in this episode.
Yeah.
And it's these are the two philosophies. Audience in TV world, what do you think about them? And it's such a nice luxury, because now everyone's going into Civil War basically knowing what the fight is.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is going to help bolster people's knowledge of, our understanding, basically, on a fundamental level. Powered people versus non-powered...
Even the Watch
Control
Dogs
versus
calling,
non-control.
Yes.
Well, and even the Watch Dogs calling for a list of powered individuals.
Yeah.
That's terrifying, because it's also a really big bit of hypocrisy, because the Watch Dogs are we can't have this group of vigilantes going out and causing all this trouble, so we're going to start our own vigilante group and show them what's what.
Yep. We don't like that the government's doing things. The government should have a list.
Let's give them more power.
Yeah, it's...
I like this conflict, because I always find myself siding with S.H.I.E.L.D., but I feel like I'm going back and forth between the way Coulson wants to do things and the way Daisy wants to do things and how Mac feels about this, but how, Daisy and Lincoln are handling this. I go back and forth between agreeing with, one side or the other throughout the show.
That's what it's supposed to do. That's what the book Civil War did. Well, I mean, that was... you wanted to side more with Cap in the original Civil War, but that's what they're leading towards. I think even... It's going to be even more so than the original book, is that you should see both sides equally and be torn on who you want to support.
Yeah, don't see the Watchdog side, that's for sure. But within S.H.I.E.L.D., I feel very much I'm on a seesaw.
Yeah.
Well, the Civil War comic book, they specifically wrote to make Iron Man the bad guy in it.
Yeah.
And but here, they've said in the movie they want it to be less clear who's the bad guy and who's the good guy.
Yeah.
No bad guys, no good guys, just opinions. I believe is the direct.
I mean, the way I always look at that Civil War is that like Iron Man is doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. Cap is doing the wrong thing for the right reasons, and that's what that's
the right thing for the wrong reasons.
Yes, yeah. Whatever.
It's
yeah,
confusing.
You
it's
know
confusing.
What I meant. Yes. But that's what we're starting to get with Civil War, because like with Daisy going off on this like torture mission, like that's not really okay, but at the same time,
she needs that information. We need her to get that information.
Well, yes, well, who knows what lives they may have saved by her doing that?
Do
it's
the
really
ends justify
hard.
The means? Do we feel comfortable living in a society knowing that we're hurting and killing people, possibly innocent people? She had no idea.
Whoa. Right.
She had no idea if that guy was actually knew where the watchdogs were.
She was okay with terrifying him anyway. Yeah.
And she was okay with possibly hurting him, like threatening him, breaking his property, and like, you know, with the other guy, she was throwing him around the room.
I was sitting there like, do you know how much that glass will cost to replace? Like, I know S.H.I.E.L.D. has Mac to like go fix stuff, but like, this guy doesn't have a Mac or a cheese.
That truck does not look like it's already in good shape. He probably
can't
afford.
It has not been maintained.
Yeah. But I will say, though, that when I really love that Marvel loves to tackle these issues, because a lot of them do hit really close to home, especially with the political atmosphere in America right now.
Oh, yeah.
There's so
much
that...
hit it very heavy.
It can feel a little heavy-handed at times, but at the same time, strangely enough, 2016, we still need to have this discussion. But I personally tend to worry when writers get too caught up with the ideas that they're trying to convey. I feel like sometimes that may or may not betray the characters who are trying to, you know, like the characters become vessels for those ideas.
Like they're trying to put those parallels in without thinking of the character.
And then it makes characters act out of character. So, like, I really liked this episode, but, like, Mac taking a moral stance against Daisy using her hacking abilities, I was like, because you don't even need to shake somebody down with her powers. She obtained that information, and he's like, this is wrong. It's like, how is that any different from anything else you've asked her to do in the past?
Anytime she's ever hacked anyone in the past.
Yeah. Because she's, like, pulling IP addresses from public forum information. Yeah. That is in no way any different from anything that she's
just extracting information.
She's gotten way more sensitive information.
It's just in a different format.
Yeah, and so maybe it was just his moral objection was her mafia-style shakedown. But when he said that, I was like, It seemed like that was just mere setup so that they could be on opposing sides of this argument to convey this idea.
Well, no, but I mean, everything that Daisy did in that whole situation was fundamentally wrong. Like, yes, these are bad people. Absolutely, these are bad people. They are going to hurt people just for being who they are, just for existing.
Yeah.
But these were people posting opinions on a forum. She had no evidence that anyone on that particular forum was involved in the attack on the ATCU. All she had was their opinions. And she used their opinions to track them down, damage their property, and torture them, basically. Yes, she didn't physically torture them, but she emotionally scared the crap out of that guy in order to get information.
And when opinions become illegal, that becomes very dangerous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it's the classic kind of fight. We talk about this all the time. It's the thing that will forever go unanswered, but it is, would you rather live in a society that is safe, or would you rather live in a society that is free?
Yep.
And
we will always struggle with
that. That's the struggle, because yes, Daisy probably saved lives by doing this, but at the same time, she violated inherent freedoms that we are supposed to have in this country.
Yep.
And that guy is entitled to his awful, vile opinions, but he is entitled to them. Although, anybody who uses the free speech argument about that, like, free speech prevents the government from, like, censoring what you say, but it doesn't prevent you from suffering the consequences of what you say. So,
for sure.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Hate speech is protected by free speech as well. That's a misnomer that's thrown out, that hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment. It 100% is.
Yeah, it's all circumstantial, but we're getting off the topic.
Off topic. Let's bring it back to a little bit more of a personal setting, because we get introduced to a little bit of Mac's family. Mm-hmm. We get introduced to his little brother, Ruben. Mm-hmm. And I think Ruben, first of all, I liked that they brought him in. Like, there were a couple, like, facepalmy moments where it's like, ah, can't believe he did that. But I really liked that they brought him in, because, again, he was kind of a vehicle for some of these ideas of, like, the millennial existential crises, or a lot of angst that a lot of millennials are going through, or really just a lot of people right now, especially, like, during the recession and things like that.
I mean, he kind of represented the two... I don't want to make this a political discussion at all, but he kind of represented the two major factions, for lack of a better word, on either side of the presidential run, or at least the most vocal ones, which are the Donald Trump supporters and the Bernie Sanders supporters. Both of them are very upset with the government.
Yep.
Both of them feel like the government is doing things the wrong way and it should be changed, and that there should be ground level upheaval from how our government
Someone's
works.
Someone's got to stick it to the man.
Exactly. And whether you agree with them or disagree with them, that's not what this is about. But it is, like, what he represents, is, like, this young person who's seen the government be corrupt, who has seen Hydra come out of the shield.
Who the system does not help.
Yeah.
Who is currently in debt, who has trouble holding down a job because the economy's not great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's seen the bad side of the way the system is broken. And, like a lot of people in the real world, he's lashing out at what little things he can find to feel anger towards.
And that's another theme, kind of reoccurring theme in this episode too, is anger is good because it gives you direction and it's a great motivator.
Yeah.
But it's that blind anger, that aimless sort of thing, where that anger can be pointed in the wrong direction. That's where the danger lies.
And people are in the chat are asking, like, how did we get into politics? And it's like, well,
it's very polarized.
Literally everything in this episode was about politics.
This episode was so thinly veiled politics stuff. Yeah. I mean, Blake is just spouting Trump stuff, like,
everywhere. And almost Bernie Sanders stuff as well. Like, he's saying very similar things to both of those people.
Yeah, and it's intentional. Yeah. Like, if you think it's an accident, it's not.
Guys, nobody wants to really dig into, like, real politics right now.
Yeah, but won't give any opinions.
Yeah, let's talk about superheroes, you guys.
but the thing is that this show has always talked about political issues from the get-go.
A lot of comic stories do. Like, that's kind of a lot of the basis of the stories that we read and the movies that we watch. Like, everything is just based on
Captain America himself makes political statements in the comics all the time.
Yeah, the X-Men are a thinly veiled thing for gay rights.
Yeah.
It has been since the very start.
Well, there were civil rights at the beginning, and now they're gay rights.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we even had a character that said, first we had to deal with illegal aliens, now we have to deal with outer space aliens.
And we were, this whole episode revolved around a hate group. We're gonna talk a little bit about politics when that happens. But let's bring it back to Alfie. I'm so happy. it's Alfie and Ruben. And I liked their dynamic because I've been on both sides of that. I've been on the, I'm a very busy sibling, but I want to be there for my family. And I've also been on the receiving end of, like...
Like, where have you been?
Where have you been? I'm trying
to make this work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I thought we were going to, like, hang out, have lunch, and have a beer. So what did you guys think with them introducing Ruben, especially in the wake of Mac losing two of his best friends.
I was gonna say I liked seeing Ruben and meeting Ruben and knowing that Mac has somebody in his life that he's still really close to. Mm-hmm. He's still really close to. I mean, he's getting closer to Daisy and others in S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, but he had a very special bond with Bobby and Hunter. Mm-hmm. So to see that he has someone, you know, who's his blood brother to, like, be there for him if he needs it, like, that was comforting for me, especially since Mac is always kind of on the fence with, like, how he feels with certain things.
Yeah.
And he has a constant in his life through Ruben.
This could have been a very cheap introduction for a character. Like, to introduce a brother that we've never met before is, like, it could be like, oh, yeah, and he's got this brother. But it never felt unnatural because, I think mainly because he went to his brother at exactly the time where
he
a character would
comfort.
Have. He just lost two of his closest friends. I mean, they're not dead, but they're effectively dead to him. Like, he can't...
They're transferred permanently.
He cannot contact them for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that he would want to... That would inspire a trip to see his family.
Yeah.
I think this was... number one, it was really refreshing to have a Mac-centric episode since we haven't had one in a really long time. And he's really been ancillary to a lot of the stories as of late. So it was nice to see him...
Yeah, like, there was one episode he wasn't even in at all.
Yeah, so it was really cool to see Mac as the main focal point of an episode. And I also think it was good to have his point of view because he's kind of been on both sides of this debate. So to kind of see him, like, see where this is coming and have his brother really represent one side and, like, have him have such a strong opinion, it really helped this episode out. And it was just cool to see him work again.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and it is kind of like a solemn reminder of, oh, yeah, I used to think that way. It's like, oh, man. And so it's like you really see how far Mac has come and the relationships he's formed with everybody in S.H.I.E.L.D., how far he's come from season two. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff. Speaking of, like, we had a little bit of a divide in terms of our team, and two people that we don't normally see interact together went on a buddy mission together, and that was Lincoln and Coulson.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, which team up are you talking about?
There
Fitz
several.
And Daisy or Coulson and Lincoln?
We haven't seen
May
Fitz
and Simmons?
We haven't seen any of these, like, pairs interact together in
it's
a
cool,
long
though.
Time.
Yeah, because they all work.
Yeah.
Every single pairing has an interesting dynamic that we haven't seen before, but they are obviously all friends, Lincoln and Coulson being the...
Less
the
they're working on it.
But they're on the same team, yeah.
Because Bobby and Hunter are out, like, it's kind of forced to have these weird mix and match teams.
Yeah.
So,
it's
cool to see that.
Yeah. To Megan's point, like, with Lincoln and Coulson, I thought this was a great way to bring Lincoln back in. Mm-hmm. He had gone out for assessment by... the S.H.I.E.L.D., wherever S.H.I.E.L.D. school is now, they blew up the first one.
I was going to say, did they reestablish the college? Like, is that still a
it's
thing?
It's called the Jean Grey School for Higher Learning. It's in New York.
Jean Grey?
Yeah, Jean Grey. That's how they get away with it.
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey.
It's G-R-A-Y instead of E-Y, and now it's legal.
Grey, not Grey. I got it.
Yeah, exactly. But... I thought it was very interesting to hear that he, like, even his evaluations did not come back clean. And Coulson's, like, who doesn't have a lot of agents at his disposal, is like, yeah,
he
we're not sending
quality.
You out on missions, but I need you, so
like, you
let's
flunked
fix
out,
this.
But yeah, I can't get rid of you just yet.
And like,
yeah.
I might as well see for myself what you can do for me. Well,
and I really,
in any capacity.
I really liked that he was like, I don't know you. I have vetted everyone here, but you're just kind of here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it also goes back to, it reminded me of when the first episode, when they recruited Daisy, because again, then Sky, just because, like, Lincoln's not a soldier. Like, he's not, like, the
he's
whole thing...
literally a doctor.
He is literally a doctor.
Which they need.
But he's not a soldier. And so, like, not taking orders is something that is fine for him, but in a military setting, like, that's the difference between people dying. That's like, you need to accept that you're taking orders. And I think it's hard for Lincoln to get there. And like Coulson talks about, like, twice now you've disobeyed direct orders. Yeah. Like, how can I trust you in the field? How can I trust you with my team?
I love that Coulson called him out right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. Lincoln is just sort of hanging out. Like, he's just sort of taking advantage of, you know, what they've got in terms of, like, room and board, and, like, he's hanging out with Daisy, and it's comfortable for him. I like that Coulson kind of made him realize, like, I get what you're doing, or I get why you're here, and it's not necessarily okay with me.
He's just sitting on the couch at his girlfriend's work.
Yeah. Well, you can understand his...
How lame!
You can understand his reluctance, though, to... I mean, clearly he wants to be there for Daisy, but you can understand his reluctance to join into any organization with structured authority
and feelings, or
dogmatic like loyalty, because the last organization that he was loyal to, that he felt he belonged to, fell apart because it was being run by a crazy person, by a person who went mad with power.
Yeah.
And so you can understand why, like, he wouldn't necessarily want to jump onto the next thing, because in his mind, he's probably waiting for this to fall apart too.
Yeah.
Not because, it historically speaking, it fell apart already. S.H.I.E.L.D. shouldn't even exist right now, given what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and he can't really leave either. I mean, they still think he's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, so it's either join.
He's kind of stuck.
It's either join S.H.I.E.L.D. or have S.H.I.E.L.D. follow you for the rest of your life.
Like, no matter what he decides to do, he's pretty much doomed.
So you can totally understand why he wouldn't want to necessarily be Employee of the Month, or why he wouldn't be too keen on being a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. anyway.
Yeah.
But this was a great dynamic, and I really liked, you know, it was short, but I really liked the kind of resolution that we had with the two of them finding that Blake hologram.
Yeah, he killed a hologram.
No, it was not unlocked. A fatal shot.
Yeah, but the hologram's gone now. Sorry.
That's true.
Zach, you're right. The hologram is up at a lake, and it's with other holograms.
It's on the farm.
On a farm.
Yeah. That's what they said. Yeah. It was going to the hologram farm.
It's with more projected three-dimensional light.
It's a lot happier there. It gets more exercise.
I'm glad he's happy.
Yeah. There's a yard for him to run around in. It's fine.
Oh, God.
Can we talk about the Agent Carter callbacks to this?
Yeah, there's a bunch of, like, little, like, references in this, like, especially on the Watchdogs plot line.
Let's talk about the various references that we got, because the first of which was this imploding material called
nitramine.
Yeah, which I spelled nitro and then mean, like the word mean.
It was in Agent Carter.
She's holding something.
Yeah, which it was those, if you remember, there was season one, those glowing golden eggs that of death were filled with a chemical that Howard Stark created that would just implode. They imploded an entire Roxxon facility into one tiny ball.
They were bad, bad babies.
Yeah. So she's got one right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
then also we got a Daredevil reference in here as well. We got
that
a timeline.
That was awesome.
That was really
so
cool.
That was nuts, because as you said, like, we've been struggling on the Daredevil after show to place it.
Tomorrow we'll be doing the Daredevil after show.
Yeah, tomorrow night, we're going to talk about this again tomorrow night.
For those of you who have already binged Daredevil, please do not tweet these guys spoilers.
That's
very inconsiderate.
Don't.
Please don't. We know you're excited to talk about it, but you have to understand they have to watch it in a very segmented way.
Yes, it is our prize and our punishment.
It's a blessing and a curse. Mostly a curse.
We do it.
But it says that there's a mob war going on in Hell's Kitchen, which I think probably references Punisher killing the Irish.
They mention, basically they say it's a gang war. Yeah. So it could be, honestly, it could be any given moment of violence. There are a lot of gang wars. It could be what the Punisher's up to. It could be something like that you and I are not up to yet. It could just what happened to Castle, like before the show even started.
True.
But they're acknowledging the events of season two Daredevil by saying gang warfare in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, and there was one thing before the ticker where it said a professor of law had been shot, and we've been racking our brains trying. I mean, maybe that was nothing. Maybe that was just meant to be a news story, but it was up there for a good long while. Yeah. So we've been racking our brains trying to figure out what that could be.
It could be something we'll find out about later.
Like, the only thing I can think of that's based in Philadelphia is Agent Venom. And
but he's so far away. But that's so far away.
There's no way that it was an Agent Venom reference.
Like, he's like four steps away. Yeah. They got to introduce Spidey. Then they got to introduce Venom. Then they got to get rid of. Yeah, they got to bring Venom over to. Yeah.
It's too much. It's too much. But anyway.
But yeah, the only thing I could think of, sorry to throw this out there, is if they're threading a like really early needle for a bend on She-Hulk.
Yeah, I mean,
make her not a lawyer but a professor, because you already have Matt Murdock running around. You don't want it to, if you're gonna do her show,
they should be on opposing sides. It'd be great. Anyway, I think that just about does it for the references. We should move on. Because there's still a lot to talk about.
Unless it's a spoiler.
Our engineer is looking at pictures of Agent Venom. It's cool.
Oh, dude, Agent Venom's the best.
He's awesome.
He's pretty cool. Anyway, before we move on, guys, I want to talk to you really quickly about iTunes and Lego Venom, apparently. I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so, so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, leave a comment. You guys are amazing, and the wonderful, kind things that you say are the highlight of my day, that's for sure. And also, it is the best way to let our producers know that you like the show that we're putting on. And guys, people at Marvel pay attention to the things that you guys say and the ratings that you give us, and it makes us more visible to them. And they do look at those things. We had Jim McCann in here.
Oh my God, that was so cool. Last week.
You think he wouldn't have come in if we didn't have the awesome 534 ratings?
What?
398 reviews. We're too shy of 400 reviews.
That's insane.
Oh my gosh, we're so close.
No, that's not horrifying. That's like, hit the ta-da button. Ta-da.
Yeah. Da 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 da. That one. That's a good one.
But yeah, let's do some quick shout outs so we can get back into, because we still have a bunch to talk about.
So much to talk about.
20 minutes left to do it. So yeah, the big red axe says more love letters. This is from way before this week's episode. But Mac, I had a wonderful time with you last week. Our adventure was quite a scandalous story. Not to be mentioned in a place such as this. I can't wait to see you tonight. Perhaps we can reconnect further. Maybe. Oh, I don't know. A small rampage. You know, I'm a good time.
I don't know how
Big
this
Red
Axe
axe
is going to feel.
I'm sorry. Mac has a new lover, and we are all supporting that
coupling.
We all sail that ship.
Hashtag Mac the Knife.
JL Smile says, best podcast for the best TV show. I'm so glad I discovered this podcast. I'm a huge Marvel fangirl, but a busy mom with a career, so I appreciate the show helping you fill in some gaps for me from the comics. Plus, I just love this TV show, and it feels like a double episode to get to listen to this podcast
afterwards. That's awesome. Thank you. That's the best compliment we can get.
Great after shows as Cubs fan 1980. The hosts on this show are very thorough in their recap, as well as knowing connections to the comics that the average fan may not know.
I know. I learned a thing or two.
Mike L., and there's a lot of eights there. Fast. Great podcast, and it is up fast right after the episode airs. We don't waste any time.
Nope.
Any time.
We watch it. We come straight here. There's no time for anything.
Iron Spider says, this last episode was very good. I loved Hunter and Bobby, and I'm sad to see them go. Don't worry. I hear they're going to get a lot of them soon.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to seeing them on their own show. Keep up the good work. P.S. I love Coulson's new hand.
It is a really great tool.
PhD in TV. TV says three things. Hey guys, three things. One, I have binge listened to all the episodes of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show in one week.
Wow.
I can't imagine you're not sick of our voices by this point. Two, I downloaded iTunes just to leave this review. Three, I have loved Marvel and watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since the very first episode. In fact, my friends and I got together to watch each week, but listening to this show has given me newfound appreciation for the show. Like you, I always watch a lot of TV, and sometimes the genius of S.H.I.E.L.D. gets lost in the mix. Your podcast reminds you just how awesome Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is.
Yay.
Thank you, Doctor.
XWE Fan 94. I can't believe it has taken me this long to find this podcast. Every time I drive or just need something to listen to, this is my go-to. Currently going through the back catalog and loving this show. Jilly Bean writes in.
Jilly Bean.
Forever the greatest. Absolutely love this podcast. Don't like when I have to miss a show live. And you guys can always join us live. If you're listening to this or if you're watching later on YouTube, we do tape this live at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every Tuesday right after the episode airs.
And there's a live chat you can participate in.
Yeah.
And sometimes we give away things. Not this week, but we give away things.
Yeah. It happens.
We still got lots of posters.
I say we go back to having team bus adventures, she says, as well as having Joey and Yo-Yo there, because I absolutely love them to pieces and I want them to protect them at all costs.
Oh, the bus.
I am looking forward to getting them back in the mix, because I think we're starting to set that up. With Coulson and Lincoln out there, like, working together, we're seeing Lincoln start to find his role in the team, and like, I kind of love him as a Coulson like bodyguard esque like them traveling together, and Coulson's like, light him up.
Well, and not to mention that Coulson is Daisy's surrogate dad, so you also have the kind of sort of father-in-law dynamic too.
My girlfriend's dad made me shock a guy to death.
because
a shotgun wedding.
Get out.
Lincoln and Daisy are like dating, and once this whole team kind of comes together, I wonder how he's going to respond to her being the leader and kind of like being in charge of him and like the plans that they have to execute.
Having to take orders from his girlfriend.
That would be so, it's like fraternization.
I mean,
the worst.
They deal with that in Secret Warriors between Daisy and Hellfire. I didn't think it was gonna, well, it's becoming more the Hellfire storyline as we go, with him being sort of a loose cannon. I don't think Lincoln is going to, it doesn't sit right for him to betray them.
No.
So I don't know how that's, like,
at least
they're
not
bending.
Yet.
They're working with
not yet
with archetypes, and then like, I'm sure they could even take that and give it to a different person. There's a lot they could do.
The Lincoln thing this episode kind of reminded me, I thought starting in the second half of the season, we were going to get a lot more Secret Warrior action. And we've gotten very little. Like, Joey and Yo-Yo were part of really one episode, and Lincoln's been MIA for almost the entire half.
I have to wonder if it's a budgetary reason.
I think it's got to be, just because, like, everything leading up to this half of the season was like, you're getting Secret Warriors. And, like, so far we haven't. Like, we've gotten...
Well, and Hive is expensive, let's be honest.
Yeah.
We've had some really great effects in the last couple episodes. It is most definitely a budget thing, and it's also, like, a cast member thing. We had to shoo two of our cast members away to make room. There were episodes... Again, we had an entire episode without Mac. We had an entire episode without Lincoln. Like, it was getting too crowded for everybody's storyline, so, like... there are a lot of logistics that you have to deal with when you're bringing on new team members.
It's just like, I don't want to have to sit through episodes where both Joey and Yo-Yo have to go through the same process that Lincoln went through. Like, I just want to see the Secret Warriors.
You just want,
like,
them to be a team,
Because I just think it'll be fun when we get there. And I don't think I would need it so much if they hadn't teased us with it
so much
like in the summer of last year.
Yeah.
Like, if they teased us with it, like, as we were going, like, and then, like, we were just waiting for it, like, that would all be fine. But it was that they gave us that, like, we're gonna do Secret Warriors, and then they keep poking at it.
In their defense, I think that it's actually probably dangerous to have a bunch of Inhumans working at S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. And granted, S.H.I.E.L.D. is not privy to this knowledge. Mm-hmm. But with Hive as our antagonist, we can't have a group of Inhumans at, like, a big group of Inhumans at S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. Because that, like, turns into a... Mm-hmm. That turns into a... something I shouldn't say on on a non-explicit podcast. Yeah, one of those.
But,
and that turns into, like, things go to hell so fast if that's what Hive, if Hive is here.
But that's not the aspect of Secret Warriors that I think I was most looking forward to. Yes, I want to see the big battles. I want to introduce the characters that I love from Secret Warriors. Like, I want Eden Fossey to show up.
Oh, yeah. My God, please.
And I have we'll stuff to talk about that, that later. But what I wanted was I wanted to see Daisy leading a team of her own under Coulson, and the struggle of that dynamic of when she disagrees with Coulson, because Coulson's filling in the Fury role from the books. And I want to see them disagree on how to utilize a team that she is in charge of and built and is training.
I totally understand that, and I'm on board with it. But the other thing we have to keep in mind, and it's something that this show has always struggled with, is Civil War is coming out in a month.
Mm-hmm.
In a month. Whatever this show does, it's going to have to work around Civil War. So maybe the Secret Warrior stuff is going to have to wait until after the dust settles from Civil War. And we should probably move on because we've talked about this for a little bit. But I mean, that is something to keep in mind when you're frustrated with the pacing or when you're frustrated about specific character arcs. Keep in mind, they have to adhere to the greater MCU. Mm-hmm. And as sucky as that can be, remember when Winter Soldier dropped and all of a sudden our minds were blown and the show became amazing. So let's just be patient. Anyway, I do want to talk, speaking about season one, I want to talk about the return of Agent Blake, because I did always wonder what happened to him. The last time we saw him, he got curb stomped by Deadlock, and he just was carried away on a gurney and never came back. So we never knew whether or not he was Hydra, we never knew whether or not he ended up, like, if Coulson reached out to him when he was trying to reform S.H.I.E.L.D. again. We didn't know what happened to him. So when bringing him back and bringing him back as an enemy,
as a villain,
not necessarily previously aligned with Hydra, but we're not ruling that out either. What did you guys think?
I thought it was good. It makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Because, like, yes, he's not Hydra. He was one of the people who didn't side. He wasn't evil, but being so close and witnessing that, you will be filled with a massive amount of distrust. And that means, for somebody who wasn't necessarily around Coulson, you need somewhere to put that mistrust and something to the human mind wants to blame something or someone when stuff like that goes wrong.
Sure.
And yes, you could blame Hydra, but now they're like affected. They're like in the background, and he wants to keep working towards the only way he can see to control it. And he sees aliens as what he perceives as aliens to be the thing he could put a stop to.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say, it also adds to the whole conflict that we feel in this episode, where it's just, you kind of see everyone's point of view, and like you understand Blake's perspective, not necessarily agree with him, but like you kind of get where he's coming from and what his motives are, and they're kind of justified. So that uneasiness is still there with him.
Yeah, like his arguments aren't all wrong. Like, that's the thing about Registration Act and all that, is that, like, the safety of it is a reasonable thought.
It's really satisfying.
Yeah, like, because it does feel like if somebody had that ability, then yeah, maybe they should be controlled to a certain extent. Yeah. Because, like, they could, like, somebody with Quake's powers could just walk in here and smash all our TVs.
Sure.
And what could we do to stop her?
We couldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. At the same time, if there's someone behind it deciding who's good and who's bad, like it's the same thing with Captain America, Winter Soldier. If you're preventing, if you're mm-hmm. deciding who's good and who's bad, and not allowing there to be a trial or anything like that, it's like this is not. That's not a free society.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And again, it kind of it doesn't take into account the normal people who also do very bad things because they, for whatever reason, get their hands on nitramine somehow, and they put on a mask and they blow up an ATCU facility.
Jeez. War didn't need to be Hive to be bad.
For sure.
He's a lot more dangerous now that he's also Hive, but he was still dangerous as a human being.
Yeah, more dangerous than Lincoln.
Yeah.
Like, Lincoln's untrained, Ward's sniping ATCU directors from...
Yeah, the argument is, though, that Ward needed a ton of training in order to get to that point.
Right.
Sure.
Whereas Lincoln basically would just need to just start going like this with his hands.
Like you don't
do hurt a lot.
You don't need training for a pipe bomb. Like that's the thing. Is like
or like again a group of just people who were mad enough who had access to the right materials. They stormed into Mac's house with the intent on killing him and his brother, even though they were not
didn't know
humans.
They were wrong.
They did not prepare for shotgun X.
No,
and that was their first
one
mistake.
Be prepared for shotgun X.
I loved it.
Speaking of, I want to give a little shout out to somebody on Twitter. To ignore the numbers on Twitter, can there please be a TV spinoff called The Adventures of Alfie and Mini Mac? LOL, we all came up with it on ABTV Marvel. I love it. I absolutely love it. Lots of shotgun X on Twitter.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's pretty great.
What a great way to just have that be like that's such a satisfying thing where it's like it was a throwaway thing from last season where it was like a little bit of a joke. Mac has a shotgun.
Last season?
Yeah. Mac has a shotgun. He has an axe. Like, and like we were joking about it, like how cool, like how fun it would be to have a shotgun axe. We had people like look up images
find
and send
pictures.
Them to us.
Yeah,
like,
they've even made their own.
Like, how satisfying is it that like this writing team is so in tune with the fan base?
Yeah,
that they knew exactly.
They could do something
like that.
They just
play a lot of Dead Rising.
Or they play a lot of Dead Rising.
For me, that was a very Evil Dead moment. It was like it's just short of a chainsaw.
It
it's
was
really
very
great.
Evil Dead.
Uses it and then he's like, "Ooh,
movie." Anyway,
I think I'm onto something.
You shot Mac and he powered up.
He's a mechanic. He'll make something like that that'll work all the time. He doesn't have to fabricate it every single time he wants to use it.
It'll fold back on like a trigger release and
he
like
can
a,
add
button,
a button.
It just like it's like this. It just comes forward so you can like have your pressed into
and
so
the,
go,
the blade is self sharpening.
I will say though, just
this was a prototype of the action.
He's gonna manufacture. A solid
it's gonna
one
be
now works well.
Every
together,
shield agent will have a shotgun.
They call it the night axe.
night in a big way at that point. But like, it was worth it once we saw this. I will say once they had the AK like the automatic rifle.
Yeah,
and like he picks it up and Mac is holding a shotgun with birdshot. I'm like. Train with your brother.
Switch.
You are trained to use highly tactical weapons. He has no idea if the safety is on that gun.
And like shotgun also, you don't have to be as accurate.
Also, in theory, he had like Mini Mac has used that particular gun before, since it's the family gun.
Oh, true.
Mini Mac.
I'm just saying, worth it for the shotgun axe.
Yes.
We need to talk about one other thing, but we did have a question on Twitter from Asakine. She wanted to know if Mackenzie, like their address, was a specific reference to anything, and it was we weren't able to find anything.
Jesse, you looked
at Mac is a reference to a character.
Yeah, well, Agent Mackenzie is like a SHIELD agent that I believe Mac gets his name from in the show. He was part of the CIA. He did some stuff back and forth, nothing big, but there was an Agent Mackenzie in SHIELD that I think might be. Where Mac gets his name, and that might have been a shout out to him.
If anybody else knows, feel free to tweet at us. We love learning new things.
Yeah.
So, but I do want to talk about one more thing before we go on to news and gossip, because we're running out of time. I want to talk really quick about May and Gemma.
Talk about that bomb.
With Bobby gone and Gemma racked with guilt, she is taken to trying to figure out the best way to defend herself so that she doesn't have to, like, people don't have to risk their lives rescuing her. And she's a very capable, smart, very good person who saved people's lives, and yet she feels like the biggest liability on this team, and she just feels so guilty, especially for the people that Lash killed when she let him out. And so she and May sort of go on this kind of quest to try to track him down and find him to maybe give him the cure or maybe just kill him.
It's like her way of redeeming herself in her eyes, which I mean, it's a noble thing to do, first of all, but it's just her way of feeling like she's contributing and she's going to make her wrongs right. I liked seeing Gemma back. It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm glad they found something for May to do, because it felt like, especially with Hunter and Bobby, maybe less so now, it felt like, you know, what May's main contributing aspect.
We're not friends.
To the team was that she kicked the most butt.
Yeah.
But with Daisy having powers and Hunter and Bobby and, like, Mac going into the field and, like, even, like, Fitz doing stuff, like, it felt like there wasn't really
a place
for her. And so, like, now that Hunter and Bobby are out, hopefully we get either May taking more of a leadership role or we get the cavalry back and we get to see her do what she does best.
Yeah. I think she's going to be very necessary as they go forward. And the whole thing, Andrew hasn't finished his transformation, I thought was very interesting.
Yeah. I thought we haven't heard much about that.
Because I think they mentioned it when Lash was, you know, it was a while ago.
When they took
months.
Him in, right? They
but
said, like,
they
this,
said it was possible
this will slow
to fix
it,
him
yeah. down. Yeah.
Yeah. But so it's so the funny idea that they think they might be able to cure him with the vaccine.
I hope so. That's insane.
I don't know.
I mean, I would sort of hope not, to be honest. Like, it would feel sort of like a cheat.
Like a cop-out.
It's like, also, now what? Now what do we do with Andrew? Now that
also
he's
I
back
feel like
to normal.
Andrew would be crushed. Like, regular Andrew without Lash would be crushed to know that he did all of that killing
destruction. This is assuming that it would mitigate his biological desire to take inhuman life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could still have that desire but not have the ability to transform. That could drive him crazy.
Definitely. Like, his halfway transition will only halfway be cured if they can administer the cure to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
But so one question from the chat I think we need to address just very, very quickly, and then we'll do news and gossip, was Hamto asks, who did the Watchdogs think was inhuman, and were they mistaken? And we talked about this briefly off air. They thought that Mac was inhuman, and that's why they went after him. Because they just missaw what Daisy was doing on when they attacked.
He stood up and left cover when his brother came, and when Daisy took a guy out, they thought it was Mac and not Daisy.
Yeah.
They thought it was the big burly guy and not the tiny girl that was next to him.
And with that, I think there's so much to talk about with Civil War and everything going in. I want to can we do some news and gossip?
Let's do some news and gossip.
Because if you guys didn't know, WonderCon happened this weekend here in LA, and we had some field agents doing some secret
undercover
work. We sent out field agents Steve Kaufman, aka not Jesse, and
not
also
Zach,
with
not Mark,
with also with our agent Yael Teagle.
Yep.
The two of them interviewed all of the cast. I'm super jealous.
Yeah,
but
Steve also got to interview Jeff Loeb and they talked about a little bit about Civil War. So why don't we take a look
at
that clip really quickly?
Jeff, are you able to say anything about how Captain America's Civil War will play into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Not specifically, obviously, but certainly some of the actions that happen in that film, you know, have a ripple throughout the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and so we'll be dealing with it in our own special way. I mean, the interesting part about it is this entire season has been very much thematically living in that world, which is, you know, Civil War at the end of the day is about whether or not people with powers should be in some way contained or registered or have to follow rules. And within our own show, the idea of powered people, for a show that started out with the idea that not all heroes are super, they're now dealing with the fact that, no, there are. And so how do you incorporate them? How do each of our characters feel about that? And so where that goes will slide very nicely into it. And that, you know, I have to give credit to Jed Whedon and Marissa Tancheron and Jeff Bell, our showrunners, and our incredible writing staff who just continue to surprise us all the time.
Elizabeth, yeah. What is your favorite
thing you've gotten to deal with? Thank you for bringing that up, Steve.
Thanks so much.
Yes, guys, that is Elizabeth Henstred in the background. Steve also talks to her about some stuff, some really funny stuff.
Please
in the beginning.
Go to
all
YouTube.
All of those interviews are on AfterBuzz TV on YouTube, youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV, and we'll tweet out the link to the playlist for all of them as well. Some really cool stuff.
If you want to see Steve ask an awkward question, please watch the beginning of that clip.
Yeah, I realize we should have said... Yep, I realize we should have said that we sent our life model decoy.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
But
so really great stuff. And again, thank you to Steve and Yael for taking it upon themselves to do that. Because, yeah, it's
taking
great.
Taking upon themselves, lucky.
Anyway, our jealousy aside, that basically wraps it up for this episode, so we should probably talk about predictions. Really quick rapid fire
predictions. TV predictions.
So
the next episode is called Space Time, you guys.
Oh my god.
Quick prediction right now. I think that we'll get the full team of the Secret Warriors after Civil War. Like, it'll create a rift where Daisy will go and create her own team and be separate, a little separate from S.H.I.E.L.D. That's my prediction.
I like that. My thought was post-Civil War, that's when Daisy's going to get her team as a fallout from, like, if I'm assuming in this prediction that Iron Man sort of wins, and like, so there's a little bit more clampdown on powered people, and with that, Daisy gets her own team. I could see it tying into that very well, where she is now, like, Coulson's like one part of the, if it's the ATCU as like the the hand, like the governing body, S.H.I.E.L.D. is one section, and or like one offshoot, and Secret War, her team is a separate but equal offshoot.
Oh, see, I think because the name is Secret Warriors, like, ATCU has no idea, and S.H.I.E.L.D. official has no idea that they exist.
Or maybe it's Coulson's secret team that the ATCU has no idea.
It's
but she's totally
Avengers.
In on it. Yeah.
It's the Shadow Avengers.
I'm in. I'm in.
Do you like it? So I think May is going to change her mind about not wanting to cure Andrew. Like, I think when the opportunity actually comes, she's going to want to try to save him.
Don't give me hope, Joyce.
I know. Look, she says that. She says that now, but it's Andrew. And in the trailer for next week, I heard the narrator say they have a view into their future. So the first thing I thought of was in Secret Warriors in the comics. I know, like, he's not in this, but Alex, the god.
Phobos.
Yes, Phobos. I was trying to remember his name. I thought of him, like, telling them what their future was, because he can see what's going to happen to them in the book. Yeah. So that's what I thought of, but they're going to get a glimpse into, like, their doom, especially Daisy, like, we see her getting into, so...
Or we have a member who can bend space time and go to the future.
Yes,
I don't think it's a person who can bend space and time. I'm sorry, Zach. I think this is more of a Reyna thing, in that this person can see the future or the possible outcomes, and when they touch other people, it's like Dead Zone, where, you know, they kind of get that sort of glimpse.
Great reference.
It's like the guy from Men in Black 3.
Yeah.
Sees all possible timelines. But talking about this next episode, I think that we're going to get more snippets of that mid-season 3 intro that we got of the plane in space for some reason. I think we're going to get a little bit more teases of that. And also, Hive looks terrible in a turtleneck. Who dressed him? Who let him dress himself?
Neo.
Turtleneck was not
the Matrix.
Turtleneck Turtleneck is not the look for you, Hive. Then again, it's better than the caramel syrup, but...
Barely.
Such, yeah, but not by much.
Not as tasty, though.
If you watch those interviews that Steve did, he asked and found out just what was in that caramel syrup that he's covered in.
So for those of you dying to know, we have answers.
And that's the best note to go out on.
Yes, it is. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on before we wrap it out for the night?
No.
All right. Well, thank you guys again so much for tuning in. We love hearing from you guys. Anyway, thank you. Jesse Klein, where can people go?
You can go to Twitter and Instagram and find me at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. And tomorrow at 11 o'clock, you will see me and Zach doing the Daredevil podcast. We're doing episodes 7 and 8.
7 and 8 tomorrow.
It's with Mark Donica and... Emma Fife gonna be.
Emma can't join us tomorrow. It's gonna be you, me, and Jamie. Elias tomorrow. Elias, yeah. We're gonna have a party in the middle of the night.
Great
slumber party.
Midnight party.
guys, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube at ThatZachWilson. A bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. I'm crossing the streams here a little bit, but I just last week released a video on my channel where I talked about why DC needs to eventually cross over the movies and the TV shows, especially after the craziness of the Flash Supergirl crossover.
Yeah.
And my good buddy and the good buddy of our show here, Matt Lieberman, stopped by to argue with me.
Check it out, Lieberman.
Joyce!
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Ajuri, and on the Sunday Night Shameless podcast. There's one more episode left.
Nice.
And you guys can tweet at me and follow me on Instagram at The Mengua. That's THEMENGUIN. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. And for those of you, I did some field producing for the Star Wars Rebels season finale red carpet that they had yesterday, and I was on the red carpet for the Fear the Walking Dead tonight, so keep an eye out for those. They'll be uploaded soon. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in. We will see you all next week.
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.